That's the theme for today. Now, I don't know if any of the rest of you feel like I do, but I feel that this world has been co-opted. It's been taken away by all different types of godly forces. And what we're going to do is we're going to look at how to take back the world one family at a time. And you say, well, you know, I've been praying for the government. I've been praying for the leaders. I've been praying for the people in Tallahassee and the people in Washington. And I've been praying for the people in California and everywhere else. And I've been working on this message for 3 months. This week, the Lord gave me a very clear message. He said, Mark, you're missing the point. The fabric of this country, this world, has been co-opted and destroyed. Because the fabric of this country is the family unit. Father, mother, children, there's an order to it. God has established it, and we're going to talk about how to take it back. Neely, what's next? The question is, who's doing the work? And as always, God gives us the answer in Isaiah. It's in chapter 1, verse 18. And you don't have to write all these things down because they're when you do the live stream, when you listen to it again, you can take all the notes now. But I really want you to hear this. It says, come now, let us reason together. This is God pleading with us, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be like white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be like wool. If you will consent and obey, you will eat the best of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword. Truly, the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. We have a choice. We can be willing and obedient and do what the Lord tells us to do, or we can continue to go on the downward spiral of death and destruction. The choice is ours. It doesn't depend on who's president or who's in charge of Congress or what person is in charge of whatever government around the world. It depends on you and me. Okay? It depends on our posture. Are we sitting on our fannies or are we on our knees? Too many have sat on their fannies, myself included, for far too long. And if we want to take back our families and we want to take back this world, we better get on our knees and get on our knees quick. That is his message. If you will be willing and obedient, you'll eat the best of the land. If you don't, you're going to die. It's that simple. Now, we are living. What is happening? What is going on in this world right now? There's a lot of different things that are happening. And I'm not going to read this scripture right now, but you might want to write that down because it does tell you that the earth, the heavens, and the earth are shaking. God is shaking the heavens and the earth to get our attention. He is shaking the things which can be shaken and getting them out of the way so that he can reveal that which cannot be shaken, which is the kingdom of God and our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have that relationship, it cannot be shaken unless you let it. And there's far too many of us that have become complacent, that are sitting on our couches, listening to stay home and be safe. instead of getting on our knees and praying for our families. We're listening to Joe Namath tell us what we deserve and what rights we have and how the government should send us more money. No. We should take our families back by getting on our knees and praying to God the Father Almighty. Not asking Him for salvation, because our Lord Jesus Christ already paid that price. We should be thanking Him for what He has provided. But He's shaking this earth. Next one, please. Far too many. This was a major change in this presentation last night and this morning. Because I was talking to Gary about what the message is. And he said, Mark, you got to understand, there's a lot of the people in our congregation that are scared to death, that are frightened because of what's happening in this world. And so we have a choice, folks. I'm going to just be blunt, honest with you. We can live in fear, which is false evidence appearing real, and a world full of FUD, fear, uncertainty, and doubt. We are letting the demons just attack us brutally, and we're going, oh, what am I going to do? Don't do that. But you have a choice. You can continue to live in fear. And if you want to do that, keep watching the news. I don't care what channel you're on. CNN, NBC, ABC, CBS, Fox News, MSNBC. I don't care. They're all putting out the same message. And if that's not enough, go on the internet. Look at all the garbage that's being put out there. And you'll be more than welcomed to live in fear, uncertainty, and doubt. Okay? But, and that's a holy but, because what comes after the but is what's really important. Okay? It's really important. Go ahead. The Father, faith, Father's answer is trusting Him. See that cross in the middle? That cross is empty. You know what? If you go to the tomb, that tomb is empty too. So we can have faith in God. We can trust Him. Okay? And here's how we take the family back. And this is what we're going to cover today. This prayer list. You need to get this prayer list. You need to write these down. When you listen to this again on Facebook or whatever you're going to listen to, and you need to write each one of these scriptures down. Now, on the back of this prayer list, you need to turn it over. And you need to write down the names of your brothers, your sisters, your spouse, your children, your aunts, your uncles, your cousins, your nieces, your nephews, your in-laws. Write them all down. By name, and outlaws. By name. By name. And if you forget anybody, keep adding to the list, because the Lord will continue to give you people for your prayer list. Here's my prayer list. I've had this for over 10 years. I don't know how far I can walk, Elijah, and still be on the picture, because I'm used to wandering on the whole front of the church. But one Sunday we were sitting in church and they passed out these things, and it was a was a three-part prayer thing. And they said, and they had six people on it. That's okay, I got more than that on here. And they said, now we want you to write down people on your prayer list, and we want you to keep the original copy, and we want you to give us the other two, and we'll have the elders of our church pray for you every week for the rest of the year. I thought, that's a great idea. However, I got more than six people. I got more. I'm going to put my scriptures down on this list that I'm going to pray for my people. Okay? I'm going to write them on the back. I'm going to write them on the front. And I'm going to write the scriptures on the side. And I'm going to write the scriptures up above. And you know what? Praying for 6 months isn't enough. You got to pray every day. All day. Because there's some people sitting here today that I've listened to them pray. And I've listened to the passion in their hearts for their families. And this message is for you. This message shows you how you can pray specifically for your loved ones. Now, the first list, the first thing on the list up there is Psalm 91. We need to have a change of residence, folks. And I'm not talking about moving from here to Lakewood Ranch or up to St. Pete or whatever. We need to make sure that we have a permanent residence. And that residence is not just some normal gated community that is safe. Psalm 91, one of my favorite psalms, has been for years. As a matter of fact, I read this psalm one day in the middle of a thunderstorm. I saw a black cloud rolling over. I mean, it was a mean, ugly, green and black cloud coming down. Looked like it was going to be a tornado. And I was living in Pickerington, Ohio. And we get a lot of thunderstorms there. And this was way back. This was like 35, 40 years ago. And the Lord said, Mark, go get your Bible and turn out Psalm 91 and read it. To the storm. I was a young believer. I didn't know what that meant. I didn't know anything about it. But I did know that I needed to listen to the Lord and do what he said. I was smart enough to know that. So I'm reading this to the storm that's in our lives today. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. And that word Almighty is El Shaddai. The God who is more than enough. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For it is he who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you may seek refuge. You know that demon that you saw up there? He ain't going anywhere near where God is because he knows. You will not be afraid of the terror by night nor the arrow that flies by day, of the pestilence that stalks in darkness or the destruction that lays waste at noon. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not approach you. You will only look on it with your eyes and see the redemption of the recompense of the wicked. For you have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High your dwelling place. No evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent. For he will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will bear you up with their hands, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra and the young lion and the serpent you will trample down. Listen to these last three verses. Because he has loved me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him securely on high because he has known my name. He will call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and let him behold my salvation. That's where we need to live. We don't need to live with fear, uncertainty, and doubt, allowing false evidence to appear real in our lives. We don't need to be there. God has something he wants to tell us in Ephesians 3, 14 through 21. And this is one of my go-to verses. You guys have heard me that go to this church. You've heard me read this in church before, but it is so, so important. Paul's been preaching to the Ephesians for three chapters. And he gets to 14 and he says, for this reason, all the reasons that he gave in the first three chapters of Ephesians, he says, for this reason I bow my knee before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he should grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond and all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church in Jesus Christ to all generations forever and ever. I've read that. I can't tell you how many times. But this week, as I was walking and preparing and listening to the Lord, he said, Mark, let me ask you a question about verse 20. If you got your Bibles open there, that's where it says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we would ask or think, according to the power that works within us. Why do you think I put that in there? And I said, you know, I'm not really sure. Would you explain that to me? He said, yeah, I'll tell you. He said, because I've been working in your life since before you were born. I'm not limited by time and space. I've been working in your wife's life. I've been working in your kids' lives. Okay? I've been working in everybody's life in the entire universe before time ever began. I'm not limited by time and space. I put that in there because I want you, and he was talking to me directly, but he's also talking to you directly, I want you to participate in asking me to do what it is that is the desire of your heart based on my word. But I want you to know something. I'm not limited by your prayers. I can do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond. So I don't want you to be limited. I don't want you to think I'm limited by that. And he says it's also because I want you, when you're praying and you pray that scripture, I want you to rest right there. I want you to stop. And I want you to ask me, Lord, how would you have me pray for this person in this situation. See, God's revealing his heart to you at that point. He's telling you what he wants to do. He's asking you to ask him. He's asking you to participate. There is more power. There is more power in each verse of this Bible than every nuclear device that man could ever conceive. Okay? I'm just being straight up with you. He wants us to participate in asking him what he wants, what he wants to do, so he can tell me, so I can ask him, and he'll do it. That's how it works. I went, whoa, that's powerful stuff. Now, when we're praying for our lost loved ones, and we're praying for the people that are saved, that are basically sleeping, there's a couple things that we need to do. First of all, for those that are saved, that are complacent and have fallen asleep and saying, hey, everything's roses and rainbows and everything's going to be okay and blah, blah, blah. No, it's not. So what we need to pray for them is Habakkuk 3:2. Lord, I have heard the report about you, and I fear. If you haven't heard Lester's two teachings on fear of the Lord, you need to dial back to him, and you need to listen to him. You need to take notes. You need to read the scriptures and everything else. Because that one word says we need to fear him. It says, Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. That word revive, it means bring back to life. Okay? We have been sitting on Easy Street in this country for so long and had it so good that we think, hey, no problem. We don't need to go to church. Or if we do go to church, we need to go to a church that makes me feel good. And if I put my money in the collection plate, I'm going to get a double portion. Oh, goody, goody. Everything's rainbows and roses. Uh-uh. It's not. You can look out there. I've never heard this before in my 70 years. But it was a threat made by one of the peaceful protesters, as they call it on the news. And his quote was, if we don't get everything we want, we're going to burn this country to the ground. I said, whoa, that guy ought to be locked up. But hey, that's where we are right now. And if we don't get on our knees and take this country back and take this world back, they'll burn the whole world to the ground. They're doing it now. So that's why those of us that are believers that have just become completely complacent, we need to get on our knees. We need to ask the Lord to revive his spirit in our hearts. There's a lot of people been praying for revival to start. Well, I got some really good news for you. It's already started. Okay? Because revival doesn't start with 7 billion people all at once. It starts one heart at a time. Okay? One heart at a time. And I go to the virtual prayer meetings on Thursday nights. And trust me, revival has started. In this church, revival has started. And there's other churches, too, where revival has started. And we're going to see a greater revival as each day passes. But it starts with me. It starts with you and you and you. See, we can't just hear a message, leave this place, and get in our cars and talk to our spouse as if they're with us, or just say, man, that was a powerful message. I can't wait to hear the next one. Oh, let's go hear that again. No. Look, this word in this Bible, basic instruction before leaving earth, that's what it means. Because if you leave this without being instructed, if you leave this earth without being instructed by this Bible, you're not going to like the results. Okay? You're just not. But this word is not meant to inform you. Okay? What it is meant to do is transform you. To completely and totally change who we are. This is so that we can be sanctified, which means turned into the image of Jesus Christ. That's the purpose of this word. How much time? 20 so we need revival, but we've got another problem. We've got a bunch of people out there that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you something that you may not know, but it's not their fault. It's really not. When we are born on this earth, we are born dead spiritually. We're born alive physically, but we're born dead spiritually. Adam blew it. A lot of people say it was Eve's fault. No, it wasn't. It was Adam's fault because he did not stand in the gap for his wife. He abdicated his responsibility as a husband and allowed the enemy to tempt his wife. She took a bite of the apple or the fruit, because it doesn't say apple. It just says fruit. And he noticed that she didn't die physically. But what he didn't know, and she did know, was that the spiritual connection had been severed in her. And when he took a bite of the apple and took the leading from her instead of the leading from God, it was severed with him. And when it was severed with him, it was severed with all of us. It's Adam's fault. But God knew that was going to happen. He didn't just say, oops. Oh, I didn't see that one coming. He knew it was going to happen. And he had a plan. And that was the Lord Jesus Christ to redeem us. But in order for that to happen, and that's where this is such a beautiful plan on his part, it's an individual decision and choice. That once we make that decision, no one can take it away from us. But we have to make the choice. We have to make that choice. We have to realize, Lord, I have made a mess of my life. And good news is that when you start seeing trials and temptations and difficulties and hardships in your kids' lives, guess what? That's God drawing them to himself. It's not that God hates us and that it's an eternal game of whack-a-mole where we make a mistake and God hits us on the head. No, he's using those trials, those tribulations to draw us closer to him. Because until those things happen, they don't have any need for God. Hey, I got a great paycheck coming in. I've got a house to live in. I got this going on. I got a golf game I got to go to. I got a football game I'm going to go see. Well, I don't need no God. However, when the trials and the tribulations start coming, and they're all of a sudden, when the earth starts shaking and the heavens start shaking, God's saying, I'm here. I'm here. Pay attention. And those trials and tribulations will continue until we turn to Him. And when we turn to Him, does it mean they're going to stop? No. Chances are good it's going to get worse in your life, because now the enemy has to pay attention to you because you're no longer irrelevant to him. However, you can have peace. And that peace in your life, that peace that you have when you walk out there, when they see the t-shirt, Jesus is my rock and that's how I roll, and I'm walking around with this, this shirt draws more comments than any other shirt I've ever worn. Most people like it. I said most. But it does start a conversation, which is really what it's designed to do, is start a conversation. Let me give you an example. A couple weeks ago, our AC went out. Man, it was hotter than blue blazes. So we had already had an appointment to have the repair guy come out and talk to us about something completely different. So he checked that out. And he said, well, I got to do this and this, and we put a new battery in, and that'll help get that all squared away. And I said, well, while you're here, the AC just popped the breaker. And we've only had this air conditioning unit for a year. Actually, about 18 months, which means, guess what? It's out of warranty. And he said, so that what that means is the compressor is drawing too many amps. Okay, so if we replace the compressor, what's that, about $500? He goes, oh no, can't replace the compressor in these units. Got to replace the unit. I'm like, okay, well, how much is that going to cost? Well, that air conditioning unit that lasted 18 months, that cost $2,200. That was covered by a warranty, and I only had to pay $150 to get it put in. Well, the guy told me, he said, that's a piece of junk. Had I been with this, you know, with this organization, I would have never had that put in. We need to put in a better unit by Coleman. I said, how much is that going to be? He said, well, normally it's about $1,500 to $1,800, but he said, you're a really, really good customer, because we'd had a problem with our refrigerator, and that was $2,200. My advice is, don't live in a motor coach. But anyway, he said, because you're a good customer, I'll take care of you. And so between the... And I said, how long is it going to take to get the air conditioner fixed? He says, well, I got one in my truck right now. I said, put it in. Okay, so he did. And we are, we're talking about all this stuff that has happened and so forth. And for some reason, he just starts opening up his heart to me. And I said, wow. And this is exactly what I asked him. I said, it seems like you don't have much peace in your life. Would you like to spend about 5 minutes and find out how to have peace in your life now and for eternity? You know what he said? I sure would. Now, the Billy Graham Association has put together a one-page thing called Peace with God. Because there, and I'll give you the link, so don't worry about it. Throughout all this trial and tribulation, there's at least 200 people per hour that are searching, Siri, how do I get saved? So, they put together this one-page thing. It says, Peace with God. And you click on it, and it goes through the entire presentation. There's even a little chat box down at the bottom so that if you have questions, you can type it in, and somebody will respond. There's also another link that I'm going to give to you on my new website that I'm working with on another guy with this praise and prayer team for across the country where we're going to be covering a lot of this stuff that you can click on. And it's what, a minute and a half, 2.5 minutes? 2 minutes and 26 seconds. What's his name? Leary or something. This guy comes on and he gives a 2.5 minute presentation on the gospel. So you don't have to do anything. All you got to do is take out your phone, which people are used to having all the time. You can punch it in. Go to the internet, and this is the way I have it set up. And this is my homepage. It's called Peace with God. Bam! It came up when I was talking to the guy that was putting in my air conditioning unit. And you see this little thing? It's a chat box. You just tap on that and you can have a live conversation with somebody that knows the gospel and is as interested in you becoming a member of the kingdom of God as you are. How awesome is that? Thank you, Billy Graham. He went to heaven. Thank God he left his son down here on earth. Because it was him that put this whole thing together. Greg Laurie. And guess what? He's got a website and there's all kinds of resources there. And Billy Graham's got all kinds of resources there. You don't have to know anything other than push this button and bam, it comes up. So you, good news and bad news. Good news is, you don't have to know anything other than where's your internet button. The bad news is you got no excuse now for not presenting the gospel. Okay? So, I mean, if you're serious about helping your kids and helping people that don't know the Lord, you got it all done. How much time do I got? It's 11:30 right now. Okay. Here's a couple of other really important scriptures. One of them is Luke 24:45. The problem with people that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ because they don't have a spiritual connection is their brain can't handle the information. But that scripture, 24:45, said Jesus opened their minds to understand the scriptures. So we can pray that for people. Ephesians 1:18 is up there. I know it is. It says, open the eyes of our hearts, Lord. Okay? Because it's in the heart that man believeth. Luke 24:45, Lester. Open the eyes of their hearts, Lord. And we can pray that prayer every day. John 6:44-45. That is so cool. You know, if you want to know if God really cares about you, just turn to John 6:44-45, and you'll see. Jesus says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. God the Father Almighty is constantly drawing us to himself. And I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. God is constantly drawing. God is constantly teaching. And let me tell you something about that scripture. First time I read that, I was sitting in my dining room in Wethersfield, Connecticut, and I had just gotten the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I just got real plain with God. I said, wait a minute. Does that really mean what it says? You're my teacher? You will tell me what I need to know? And he goes, Mark, you ask me any question about this Bible, and I will answer you. I will give you the answer. So write that down. Hebrews 11:1 and 11:6, critical. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11:6, for without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that comes unto God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God doesn't just expect us to seek him and then not reward us for our effort. Now, does that mean I'm going to have a Cadillac in the car or in the garage when I get home or at the parking place? No. It has nothing to do with money. It has everything to do with relationship. Because money is temporal and relationship is forever. Okay? Now, read Romans 4, 17 through 25. That tells you how to have strong faith. That's the story of Abraham and what he believed and how God made him the father of many nations. Okay, but if you want to get the full details, you got to go back to Genesis. It's about 15 chapters. Genesis, it's 12 through the rest of Genesis. Okay, basically. So, God wants to leave us with two messages today. Okay, he doesn't want us to live in fear, uncertainty, and doubt. He doesn't want us to live with FUD. He doesn't want us to live believing that false evidence that's appearing real. He doesn't want us to believe that the monsters are going to devour us. He wants us to live in faith. And here's the two departing messages from the Lord Jesus Christ. John 14, 1 through 6. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way I am going. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father, but through me. He is preeminent, the preeminent way. Okay? And here's some really, really great news. It's John 16, verse 33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In this world, You will have tribulation, but take care, courage. I have overcome the world. That word world is cosmos. And what that means is the totality of all things created. So if you're facing something today and it's in this creation, guess what? Jesus has overcome it. If you face something tomorrow that's in this world, Jesus has overcome it. If you've got children that aren't saved, be encouraged. The Lord says that He knows the plan that He has for us. And that's individual, each one of us. Just keep praying for your grandchildren and your children, because God knows the path they're on, and it's different from yours. Just like my wife's path is different from my wife, or from my path, and my kids' paths are different from my path, God has an individual path for each one of us. Be encouraged in that. Know that He loves you, that He paid a price for you. Just keep praying. Get on your knees and know that He's in control. Kick the monsters out of your mind. There's scriptures on there that tell you how to do that. Okay? Just stay with the Lord. Turn off the TV. Turn off the internet. Turn on the Holy Spirit. Father God, in Jesus' name we come. And Lord, I thank You for Your words of great encouragement to us today. I thank You, Lord, that You summarized it all when You said in this world You would have tribulation. And believe me, there's plenty of it. But take courage. I have overcome the world. And we thank You for that in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Mark. Something occurs to me that two themes today, relationship and prayer. But what occurs to me is how small children, when they run into challenges or trouble, and that they run to mommy or daddy and grab them around the ankles. Right? And I think of our Heavenly Father, right? Father, right? And, you know, what does Scripture tell us? That, you know, if our earthly fathers are good, He is so much better. He is truly the perfect Father. That whatever is going on in our life, whether it be good, bad, indifferent, if it's good, we should go to Him and give Him a spiritual hug and say, thank You, Lord. Amen. If it's bad, we may go and just grab Him around His ankles and say, Lord, I need help. This is above and beyond me. I can't deal with it myself. And that's true whether it be physical issues, emotional issues, spiritual issues. Our Father won't let us come to Him and turn us away. He will always be there when we're ready for Him. So I'd encourage you to do that this week and for the rest of your life. Neely, can it is possible for us to put that one slide on our Facebook page and maybe the two links that Mark mentioned, so we can put on our Facebook page and maybe print out some copies that we could have for next week? Okay, great. Thank you, Annette. So don't worry if you didn't get all of those scripture references down. We'll get them posted on Facebook and have them printed out next week. So anyway, thank you all for being here. The Lord bless you and keep you, make His face shine upon you. Have a blessed week, and Lord willing, we'll all see you next week.